Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed. This is Merrick Larwood.
Hello there.
You alright?
I don't know about the start bit. But
yeah, do you want to do it again?
No, we talked about this before. But
why don't you try it?
We've done this before, haven't we?
Yeah, we have, but try it.
I feel like hello, this is Film Fandango. It's a film podcast. Well, I suppose it's just a chat, really. I suppose it's two people talking. You've downloaded two strangers talking about films. None of them have any qualifications. And they don't even know why they're still making this podcast over 120 episodes. This one's David Reed.
Hello.
My name's Merrick Larwood. Now, my question to you is, how do you feel when I introduce you as like, David, you can only say hello, can't you?
I can only say hello. Well, but you know, after a while you've sort of worked out that that's your cue to say anything you like. That works fine, doesn't it?
Anyway, if you're the first person listening to this, you probably think, what pair of... Well, you think I'm a dick, don't you?
Hey, you're slowly falling in love with me.
We've been to the cinema, as usual.
Yeah. What did you go and see?
I have just come back from seeing Muppets Most Wanted.
The sequel to the Muppets reboot movie starring Jason Segel.
Didn't he write the original as well, I think?
Yeah, the reboot, yeah.
Yeah.
And starred in it. And got it made, I think, in the first place. It's depressing, isn't it, that Jason Segel is bigger than the Muppets?
Really?
I think so. I think it needed him being attached for them to greenlight.
My favourite bits in the films is just when they do the start of the Muppet Show. You know, they redo it. And you see them all walking across through the arches. I don't know if it's nostalgia, but it makes me really happy watching
it. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really lovely.
As this is a sequel, I assume they go on a road trip of Europe.
Yes, pretty much it.
That's the rule. Film one is in Manhattan. Film two is the whole of Europe in one go.
It's a kid's film. It's also very knowing as well, because they start the film, which is bordered by at the very end of the old film.
Yeah.
And it does sort of identify the fact that it is a film on several, and they're making a film on several occasions.
Okay.
So the basic premise is the Muppets get a new agent who is played by Ricky Gervais.
Dominic Badgie.
Dominic Badgie. It's bad guy. It looks like bad guy. But anyway, yeah. Dominic bad guy, played by Ricky Gervais. And they go on a world tour, but. Are they going on a world tour? Is there an ulterior motive for doing this? And also there's another frog who's in a Russian gulag, the most dangerous frog in the world. He looks exactly like Kermit.
Yeah.
His name's Constantine, and he's got a little mole on his face, a different...
A frog with a mole on his face.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be played by Robert De Niro, first of all, because I thought that would be really funny, but it was not. And there are a huge number of cameos, three or four.
The advertised ones are, you know, the Michael Caines of this film.
Yeah.
Appear to be, obviously, Ricky Gervais. Tina Fey.
Tina Fey plays the person who runs the gulag. And Ty Burrell.
Burrell as a French police officer, gendarme.
Yes, yes.
I laughed a lot in the trailer of him going, This is my car. It has now been banned for its enormous size.
Yes. Other cameos are Hugh Bonneville, Jermaine from the...
Flight of the Conchords. Well, yes. He writes all the songs, you see.
Oh, okay. Sean Coombs, Puff Daddy Man, Lady Gaga, Mackenzie Crooks, Celine Dion, Salma Hayek, Tom Hiddleston, Tom Hollander, Toby Jones, Ray Liotta, James McAvoy. There are a huge number of...
Ray Liotta has cameoed in a Muppet film before. He plays the head of security in Muppets from Space.
Mm.
He can't get enough.
He does... I don't think he's... I don't know if...
He's got a weird face these days. He looks a bit like a Muppet.
He looks like a Muppet who's been drinking a lot.
A Muppet that's been made of cured ham.
But his eyes still have that stare that was really golden when he was younger. It's young eyes on a dead person's face. Can you say that?
You can say it, yeah. I'm really glad eyes don't age in the same way, that they don't become wrinkled.
The actual skin of the eyes.
Yeah, wouldn't that be creepy?
Yeah, you could do that in a film.
Oh, wrinkly eyes. Wrinkly eyes are coming to get you.
It'll probably happen to me. And there's people in... I'm looking for the cast list on IMDb, and there's people I didn't even spot in Russell Tovey, for example. I didn't even see him.
Okay.
In the film. Well.
So, is the new Muppet they introduced in the last film in it again?
He's in it again, yeah.
What, Walter, was it?
Yeah, really plain, boring Muppet.
I quite liked him in the first one. I thought arc was quite sweet.
He's just a really normal Muppet to help do a bit of exposition.
So Constantine is the new character, basically.
Constantine is just like a bad Kermit sort of lookalike.
Okay. Not is he funny? New
character. Now, the first, I was quite sceptical because I thought the Muppet franchise deteriorated slightly through the earlier franchise. I enjoyed the Christmas Carol one. I thought it was really good.
Well, Christmas Carol for me, I think, is one of those, because I love Henson stuff, grew up with it in the 80s, and, you know, was rather in awe of Jim Henson and what he'd achieved growing up and becoming a teenager and going, wow, this person just created this out of nothing. It didn't exist before.
Yeah.
And so when he died, it was really quite sad, you know, quite a shock. So for them to then go on and, you know, from an organisation that was largely one man, to go on and make Muppet Christmas Carol as the most ambitious film they've ever done, and it to be the best film they've ever made, was incredible. And I really like all three of that era of Muppets films.
Was it Treasure Island?
Treasure Island, which is, whether you like it is entirely down to whether you find Kevin, what's his name?
The one from
Kevin Bishop.
Oh yeah, he's.
He's the kid. Whether he's young, whether you find him tolerable or not, as Jack Hawkins, and then Muppets from Space, I think is brilliant as well.
Okay, the Muppets, Jason, is he Siegel? You used to pronounce.
Yeah,
I thought was. I was not a huge fan of Muppet films. I thought that was really funny. I thought it was a brilliant comeback film. There's with some great musical pieces, like the Man or a Muppet song.
Great. And I thought the Walter's whistling resolution as well, this climax of his story, was lovely, really well handled.
It was
as well.
Really good, the Muppets. I thought the Muppets Most Wanted was not half as impressive.
Oh, that's a shame.
Not as funny, the story wasn't as interesting. Last week I talked about how good Steve Coogan was, and even though he's always a bit like Alan Partridge,
yes,
in Philomena, and he's always watchable. Ricky Gervais is always David Brent from The Office.
Yes.
He's not a very good actor, and I don't find him amusing enough to hold the main, one of the main sort of human parts.
Is he in it a lot?
Yeah.
I don't know why they don't go less is more. The greatest success they ever had one human being in it. Well, two, when his love interest is in it as well. But everyone else is played by Muppets.
Mm.
And that was brilliant. You know, because you focus on one person and they are the lead. When it's full of, you know, loads and loads and loads of tiny cameos,
It felt like they're trying to pack in so many cameos. And it was just people literally just handing over a box saying, oh, here's a box. It wasn't a funny cameo.
Yeah.
It was, here is a famous person.
Yeah.
without any, but nonetheless, Ricky Gervais playing this agent, he's just doing his sort of, that's, he's not as bad as he's in some films, but I'm not a huge fan of him.
I don't like his film career. I'm a big fan of The Office, obviously. I think it was fantastic. And Extras I'm a big fan of as well. I really liked it. I'm nothing since. I think sort of his cameos as the comedy Englishman are really pissing on the grave of Denham Elliot. And no one's ever been as good as...
I don't think he's as good as that.
Denham, well, exactly, that's what I mean. Denham Elliot is the best comedy Englishman in American films has ever been.
I just think he's lucky, isn't he?
Yeah, probably.
And Tina Fey isn't really... I think, looking at this, that the script missed... Maybe it is... Jason Segel didn't write this script. It's just not as... It's not as funny. Not as funny.
Is the spirit there? That's the thing. Cause,
not really. It feels as if...
Because it's Disney now. It's full on... Disney bought it out and it's full on
They played a Monsters University short at the start of it.
Weird.
And this film... is 1 hour and 52 minutes long.
It's long for a kid's
film. Far too long for a kid's film. And I watched it and there was a few parents and kids there and the kids, no one was particularly laughing out loud. There were a few funny bits in it. Not, the kids didn't really laugh, which is quite sad. Normally you hear the adults laugh and the kids laugh and sometimes they laugh together. The kids are quite fidgeting around.
Like the Lego movie.
Yeah, there's a couple...
The adults were laughing more than the kids in the Lego movie when I went to that.
There's a couple of good songs, but it's not in the same league. I was really disappointed.
How much Pepe the Prawn is there?
I think he's in it for one shot, maybe.
This is the mistake they keep making.
Is he your favourite Muppet?
Yes, and he gets sort of... in terms of billing, I guess you'd say he gets the Han Solo role in Muppets from Space. Because Gonzo is the lead, and then Kermit, obviously, is big up there. But then... Pepe is the funny one who everybody likes, and he's brilliant, and it's why it felt really fresh, because they'd had two successful musicals, and Muppets from Space isn't a musical, it's just where is Gonzo from is the question, and they put in some new characters, and it's like it felt so fresh rather than just going some more Fozzie telling bad jokes. You just go, Fozzie's adorable, but it's the same joke every time.
It's like, they phased out quite of the older characters a little bit, I think.
Yeah, but why
they're smaller, it seems a really? Smaller part.
Because I mean, you know, maybe it's time. I'm not saying get rid of them, I'm just saying there will be puppeteers in the Henson company who will have their own characters and ideas they've come up with, and why can't they throw them in? Why can't it grow? Why does it have to just be Kermit, Piggy, Gonzo and Fozzie every single time? It doesn't, is the answer.
You should write a letter, or, I mean, you could type an email saying this to them as me.
I do nothing else. They never listen to me.
Also, I'm going to report a new, what I noticed. I've just come back fresh from the cinema. Is it a new cause of bad behaviour in the cinema?
What's that?
Phones.
That's not new.
But it's the phones. Where used to be phones, the phone sound.
Yes. It's now the light.
Yeah.
As people just checking Twitter or something when they're bored.
As the phones are so big now, they're so light, the face of the phones, you just... There's a person just... the parents just... I think it was two girls taking their younger...
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything about single parent families.
That's a different podcast.
But
Merrick's home truth.
The woman was on her phone constantly during the film.
Yeah.
And it's a huge... Unbearable, isn't it? When you're sitting behind them and it's in shot, it's so distracting to see some. And I thought, what are you doing?
Especially since they tip it up at an angle so that it's actually shining more at you
If it was a magnifying glass and I was an ant, I would have been killed several times over. And the cinema was the sun.
And would that single parent have cared?
No, they wouldn't even have known.
Wouldn't even have batted a single eyelid.
They're too easy checking. It was scary. You just constantly checking your phone during a film.
To be fair, as a single parent, you do have to check Twitter a lot.
I don't know if anyone has had this experience.
I have.
The big phones.
I had it last week with Captain America. There were people in front looking at their phones.
Constantly.
Yeah, not constantly, but I could imagine it happening. Like, it's not cool. But most people remember to put it on silent now. Well, most decent human beings never use the sound on their phone anyway.
Yeah, you don't ever hear it.
You only occasionally see that complete prick who still has a sound every time he presses a button on the bus.
It's always somebody on the train. That's always when you're trying to go and sleep on the train. Someone just...
Or some asshole who plays a video with the sound up, who's staring at it and...
Kill them.
What's wrong with you?
Kill them.
What is wrong with you? Buy some headphones or fuck off.
Kill them.
Kill them. I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Realistically, how much could you... Would you get your... Say you killed someone, a stranger.
Yeah.
There's two situations. Someone kills a stranger. Someone kills them for having their phone... noises on their phone. Is it a lesser sentence?
Well, if someone just kills someone indiscriminately, or if they kill them for having noise on their phone.
Yeah.
Well, it's both murder, isn't it?
It's murder, but I'm wondering what's as...
What did the first person do?
They were looking a bit funny.
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, both are wrong, but I'd say the noise on the phone is more justified.
So, in terms of what sentence are you going to give me?
For noise on your phone?
For killing someone.
Oh, I see. I would say I'd let you off with a warning if it's your first offence.
Okay, well, there you go. If everyone kills someone who used their phone...
You know what I think is a worse thing is the playing loud dance music at home during the day on a weekend. Mm. Nobody wants to hear your crappy music.
Well, thankfully I've moved because where I used to live, the Chilean family who moved in up the road... wanted everyone to hear their music just from 9 o'clock on a Saturday all the way through until
God
midnight.
Very common. And, you know...
No background music.
Hateful. Hateful.
No one should ever make a sound ever, and I'll be much happier. Anyway, so Muppet's Most Wanted.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the most wanted film on DVD, I can tell you that for sure.
Well, I'm disappointed to hear this because a friend of mine who we've had on the show as a guest... went to see it, got an early screening of it. Martin Kavner, who worked for Blinkbox.
Oh, yeah.
And he preferred it to the first one.
Well, I never liked him the first time I met him.
No, I know you didn't. You didn't. It was awkward, but we got through it.
I give this... 5 Mareks.
It's as bad as it is good.
Yes, I thought it was average. And I thought, yeah, go and just watch the... Muppets meet the first one, one of the first one, the second coming of the first one, twice. Does that make sense?
No, it makes no sense at all. All right, well, that's the Muppets Most Wanted. If you disagree with Marek or if you agree with him wholeheartedly, then let us know and then we can pass that on. You don't just get cross that you disagree with him. Let us know and then we can readdress the balance. Email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Or just spout some random guff on our Facebook wall, /filmfandango. Or tweet us at Film Fandango or at Mr. David Reed or at Marek Larwood, whichever you like. We'll get it all. Somebody has done just that. They've written on our Facebook wall. This is from Martin Appleyard, who speaks in a posh Yorkshire accent.
Hang on a minute. You've been writing messages on our Facebook wall under different pseudonyms.
No, but I have been doing an impression of Martin Appleyard for over 125 episodes.
What's your normal voice?
My normal voice is to talk about like this.
Do it in your normal voice then.
Hello, Marek and David. Due to the studio execs in the Hollywood are falling to possess a pair of lads. Between them, we are more likely to get a reboot or a rehash of some classic film from our childhood than any new original ideas in our cinemas these days. With this in mind, what film are you dreading the studios will look at as their next reimagining project? Mine would be the Ferris Bueller's Day Off, imagine. What it would be like with Jesse Eisenberg or Christopher Mintz blasting the lead, thank you. And that is from Martin Appleyard.
I can see why you changed your voice, David.
I mean, it's for career reasons.
Yeah.
I get far more voiceover work doing my Martin Appleyard.
Do the Apple Yard, please. Can you get David in and tell him to come as the Apple Yard?
Buy condoms and flutes, because they're good things. That's Martin my Apple advert's Yard. Voice.
I bet his real name is something like Martin Orchard, isn't it? He's changed it.
You think?
Apple Yard's an orchard, really, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Small orchard.
It's just surrounded by buildings.
It's a poor
man's orchard. Yeah. I mean, it is a horrible, horrible feeling when they start poking their horrible reimagining noses into something you love. I mean, I think we've all basically, children of the late 70s and 80s, have had most of it tampered with and sullied. Certainly Indiana Jones has been sullied, and I'd say Raiders is one of my fondest memories from childhood. Star Wars has already all been sullied, and I bloody loved that when I was a kid. If anyone touches Labyrinth or the Goonies, I will kick off.
Ghostbusters, I'm worried about.
Oh, the new one. Harold Ramis is dead. Bill Murray has said he won't be involved.
Are they doing one?
Yeah, it's still going ahead.
I didn't even know they were doing one.
Yeah, basically the old Ghostbusters were always going to barely be in it, and it's training up the new generation so that they can run it as a franchise and run and run.
Oh no, I didn't even know what was going to happen.
Awful. But it's been in development hell for years because, from what I've understood, Harold Ramis and Bill Murray had never patched things up since filming, was it Groundhog Day?
How did they fall out?
Just filming Groundhog Day, they fell out and they
every day
for every day again and again and again. But yeah, there was a script going around for years and years and years where the Ghostbusters open a portal to hell, and it's in hell is the story. But probably best to let it go, guys. Leave it out.
Talking when I returned from the cinema to see Muppets Most Wanted.
Yes.
One of the trailers was one of the most disturbing trailers I've seen for a film.
What's that?
Postman Pat the movie.
A big CGI fest?
CGI, which defeats the whole of... Because Postman Pat, which is a kids' programme, I'm not sure if you have this in to our three listeners in Brazil.
I know he was... they couldn't sell it to Japan because he has three fingers, which and a thumb, which is a sign of being in the Yakuza. That was the rumour I heard in the 90s.
That's bollocks. Postman Pat, which was all sort of stop motion, sort of really beautiful, really quaint sort of... That's whole part of that.
Yeah.
Almost like a train set. It,
well, like doing CG Wallace and Gromit would be appalling. Yeah.
It looks rubbish.
Yeah.
And the voices started... Stephen Mangan's doing the voice, and they've made it. This is the worst thing. They haven't just set it in... Postman Pat lived in Greendale, which is a really village where nothing happens, and the story was always quite minimal.
It's
like
Greendale.
I think it was Greendale, wasn't
Greendale
it?
Greendale Community College is where the TV series Community is set.
Oh, really?
How weird.
I think it was Greendale. And it was always things like, oh, the cat's got stuck up a tree, or Ted Glenn's lost his hammer or something. Yeah. Ted Glenn was the handyman.
Yeah. Mrs. Goggins.
Who runs the post office.
Has been trapped down a well for 8 weeks. And yeah. She's getting dangerously thin.
So, I mean, they're the sort of stories you get. Or the walls fall, the brick walls falling down. This was... It looks awful. It's like terrible, cheap CGI. And what's worse was... They have a talent competition in which Simon Cowbell or something comes to Greendale during the trailer.
Why do they keep...
And it showed Postman Pat singing. I thought, this is not... Don't ruin Postman Pat with... I hate X. Don't pollute it.
They tried to do it with Paddington as well, didn't they? Recently.
Oh, it's awful, man.
It fell by the wayside. Yeah, I mean, just basically leave all of our beloved stuff alone. What was the one I heard they were rebooting? Naked Gun they're doing. They're starting again. With, what's his name? The guy from The American Office and The Hangover.
Not
Rain Wilson. Ed, what's his name?
I don't care.
You know, the middle one from The Hangover. The one who isn't Bradley Cooper or Zach Galifianakis.
The guy with the glasses.
Yeah.
I didn't really like The Hangover.
No, neither did I. I thought it was sort of... beneath me.
I think you should go and do a shit on it.
Okay. What, right now?
Yeah. Okay. I tell you what, though. If you want to donate to the running of the podcast, what would you do?
Well, we do all of this for free, listeners. So, for every hour you've enjoyed us talking, look back over how many you've downloaded, and for every hour, why don't you give us £10?
minus the times that you don't like it.
No,
it probably works out
about a quid.
We probably owe you money.
We probably owe you money. But if you'd like to donate towards our running costs, please do go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the link from there. and to everyone who has, you are heroes in our book. Yes.
You went to see a film.
Well, I was in Stratford-upon-Avon, lovely place, on my own, of an evening, as happens every now and again. And so I went to Picture House Cinema, lovely one they've got there, and went to see Under the Skin, because I'd been intrigued by what you'd said. Jonathan Glazer, I think, is very good. I like Sexy Beast a lot.
Yeah.
You said it was very well made, very beautiful. You didn't know what it was about.
Yeah, you can. That's pretty much it. But I think I strung it out to in about 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I thought. I'm not. it's going to sound bad now, but I thought it was very clear what it was about.
All right, then. What is it about?
It was about, well, spoilers.
Or maybe don't, it's spoilers, no, don't try and do it without saying what it's about.
Well, it's about, it was about an alien living in Scotland, harvesting human bodies to make more aliens, who goes native when she gets empathy for a disabled man. The end. That's the entire film.
End of spoilers.
Yeah. I thought it was incredible.
Why did you think it was incredible?
I thought it was a really well-told story. I thought it was beautifully done. There were cinematic touches unlike anything I've ever seen. I thought Scarlett Johansson actually was brilliant in it. I thought she was really, really sort of hypnotically watchable and totally believable and very cold and alien and yet vulnerable at the same time. I thought it was spot on. I thought for what it was, it was great. It's lingered with me. It's sort of haunted me a
that
bit.
That one scene I won't talk about is...
On the beach or in the black void?
On the beach is particularly horrible.
Oh, yeah. But totally justified. Like, it's beautifully done. I thought it was really, really good. Really good. Don't know if I'd want to watch it again. You know?
Did you enjoy it when you were watching it, though? Did you?
Yeah. I thought it perhaps had... It lagged in the third act a bit. I thought it maybe had a bit of pacing issue. But... Because once I got what was happening... Because it is very cerebral. It's almost like a dream. There are parts that sort of don't make sense and you've got to just interpret them. Mm. But once you've got what's going on, I thought it needed to speed up a bit more than it did. But... No, I thought it was sort of heartbreaking. I thought it was very good.
Do you think you might be an alien?
I don't think I am, no. Because I've got a working vagina. I've never had to look up there with a light.
Okay. Well, I've got a letter about this.
If you haven't seen the film, that's a very weird thing to say.
A few spoilers here.
Yeah.
It's quite odd, though, so you can't really have any spoilers. I think what's... You could say there's spoilers but Under Your Skin, but more... It's not really about the story, it's about the tone, I suppose. Mm. Anyway, here's an email from Sheila Larkin. She's from Dublin. Here we go. Hi there, two men and a dog. We're not... Buddy's not here again this week because we're...
He's nearby.
Where is he, you know?
He's up at Finsbury Park with the dog sitter, so he's nearby.
Oh, okay. Hi there, two men... Irish. Dublin's, what is that? It's more...
Dublin.
Hi there, two men and a dog. Under the Skin, Scarlett Johansson driving around Glasgow in a white van preying on single men. An unlikely setup, but for me, I think it worked. I was glued to the screen the whole way through as it went from one unlikely turn to another. Myself and my partner had been discussing the film at various points these last few days. It really left an impression on us. It took these few days to process. And while the film does have its flaws, we both agree on the whole it was a success. The score deserves a special mention. It set the tone perfectly. Unlike that sentence.
Perfectly.
The music was still going round my head in the next morning. Special effects are used sparsely, but tremendous effect and shockingly most of the time. As for the rest of the audience, two people left. A fair dodger came in halfway through, sat through 5 minutes in front row and left again. A few unlikely moments raised titters from the audience. When leaving, it was apparent that most of the audience were delighted to have seen Scarlett naked, women included, probably because her figure was realistic as well as being quite attractive. I recommend it.
Recommend that?
I look forward to hearing what you guys think about it too. Thanks, Sheila, Dublin.
I mean, I think it's sort of unprecedentedly brave, isn't it, for an A-lister of her reputation of her, you know, she's in the biggest franchise that's in cinemas at the moment to do full frontal nudity. I mean, most of them don't give it away for a small budget film.
She's beautiful. She's beautiful, I think.
But she's right. She's got a untraditional figure for Hollywood A-lister. You know, she's got short, big thighs. But there you go. It's interesting. It's totally sort of justified as well. I mean, it's important. It's about physicality.
You couldn't do it without that, could
no,
you?
No, you couldn't. You couldn't have done it.
So, I think we enjoyed it.
You're tired, aren't you?
I'm still quite tired because of the building. Everywhere, I just want quiet. And I want building to stop everywhere. Can someone just please do that? Make the builders stop.
They always build in April.
Why?
Because the new financial year starts. They mostly build in March and it runs over to April because all of the government departments need to spend their budgets or they won't be allowed the same budget next year. So they plough it all into road maintenance in March.
I'm going to call this Road Fiasco and make a film about it.
Road Fiasco.
Road Fiasco. So there we are. That is...
Films. That is films. Good night.
And what do we say at the end of the podcast?
Thanks for being our friends.
No, no. It's this. Keep watching the films.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.